Hello and welcome to the Cacao Podcast. We're delighted to be joined today by Rosie Venner, the Director of Movement Building at the Just Money Movement. Rosie, welcome to the podcast.
Hi, Miranda. It's really lovely to be talking with you today.
Christian Concern for One World has been associated with the Just Money Movement for quite a number of years. And very proudly so, because the work on economic justice that you are doing and that you have done is really fundamental to what we think Christians ought to be doing as we think about how we use our money and how we can use it to shape a better world. How did you get involved with the Just Money movement?
So I've been there for a good number of years now, and when I first came across Just Money Movements, it was known under its former name, the Ecumenical Council of Corporate Responsibility. And I was really interested in working in ecumenical settings, and that's what I'd done for most of my working life, had been working with churches in all their diversity. Particularly around issues of climate justice and economic justice. And I'd worked for many years at Christian Aid doing that, working with local campaigners in the UK. And so when I saw the work that the Just Money Movement was doing, which was connecting up the choices that we make with money with how businesses behave, how the financial system is structured, how the tax system is structured in the UK and globally, I thought, actually, yeah, that's a really interesting way of connecting up all the things that I was interested in, but looking at it through what do we do as the church collectively? How do we speak into these spaces of campaigning and advocacy? What can the church bring to campaigns around economic justice? And what does it mean in our own lives? And I think I've always liked that connecting up of how do we live as disciples in the world? How do we seek God's kingdom? And how do we do that collectively as part of a movement within and beyond the church in a way that can have lasting change? So I think for me, it ticked lots of boxes of things that I was interested in and wanted to learn more about. And so when I joined Just Money Movement, I was their Money Makes Change program manager. So looking very much at the kind of educational materials that Just Money at the time was starting to produce to help other people connect those dots as well, because money is not an easy thing to talk about, and lots of people feel daunted at talking about issues around the economy and issues around finance. And I thought, actually, I'd be really interested in doing some work in that area and hearing what do churches need, or what would really help churches have those tricky conversations and go a bit deeper.
The things that churches initially said to you were the obstacles, and what kind of resources were you producing to help them overcome those obstacles and those barriers to conversation?
I think firstly there was a kind of cultural barrier around talking about money in many churches. I think maybe a familiarity with talking about giving, but actually considering the 90% of our money that we're not giving away, we're stewarding in other ways. But that was quite private. And I think that still is something people feel. But I think if our faith touches on the whole of our lives, then conversations about how we use and steward all our money is a conversation that we should have in church, and we should have some accountability with each other around, and an opportunity to explore how we use that money for good. And so I think there was some hesitation about talking about money. I think that sense of feeling daunted and overwhelmed in terms of actually understanding how the economy works and how we're connected to it. I think for lots of people, that kind of economic literacy, it's not something that we're particularly taught. It's not something that makes it onto the curriculum of many schools. It's maybe not something that we feel kind of prepared and able to preach and teach on in churches. And yet it affects our lives. And when you talk about the things that people are concerned about, so much of it comes back to how the economy is structured and our experience of it. And particularly those who are most marginalised by the way that the current global system works. The church, you know, is deeply concerned with those broader social justice issues, but I think there is a hesitancy to talk about the economy because maybe it's bordering on too political, or it's too technical, or the language that surrounds it just doesn't resonate with people. There's too much that we feel we don't understand. So I think there were lots of barriers to overcome. And that first set of resources that I was working on were breaking it down into more accessible and manageable ways of thinking about how we use money. So I was looking particularly at banking, at pensions, at our spending, and also about investing. And some of those things are more accessible than others. And I think I landed on banking as being the thing that most people are able to engage with because they have a concept of what a bank is, and most people have a bank account. And so actually encouraging people to do a bit of reflection on their choice of bank, and do they know how their bank behaves and what their bank does? What does their bank lend money to and invest in? It felt like that was probably the most accessible way. Beyond spending, and I felt that actually most people had some really good resources already around ethical spending, including the work that you do and the work of the Fair Trade Foundation and others. I felt that where churches had conversations about money, they had been talking about ethical spending, but there hadn't been many conversations happening around ethical banking. So that's where I started to focus more on.
I think one of the things that we've always really valued about the Ecumenical Council for Corporate Responsibility and then the Just Money Movement resources is the way you combine two things. One is a really deep reflection on the theological bases for action. Why are we doing what we do? Why is it important to us as Christians? Why is this actually part of discipleship? And on the other hand, some equally solidly researched work on what we can do. And that's both in terms of what we should avoid and also the vision that we actually want to work towards. We've used and recommended your banking resource a lot to churches, actually, and to church institutions, and had very positive feedback on it. But there's also another aspect of the work you do where you combine practical action and advocacy. And you have a campaign coming up which touches on all of these, the why, the what, and then that what being divided into what can we do in terms of practical action and what can we do in terms of advocacy. Do you want to tell us a little bit about that?
Yeah, of course. So we've been researching this campaign for a while, and I'm really excited to start being able to share more about it. The campaign is called Challenge Amazon. We are using the example of Amazon as a way of pointing towards the way in which companies are able to behave in a way which is unjust. And we're looking at it particularly through a tax justice lens, the way that very large, very wealthy corporations are able to and do avoid tax, and are not paying their fair share in the countries in which they operate, and all that then leads to in terms of countries not being able to have adequate tax revenue and the kind of issues around transparency. And there are other reasons why we've chosen Amazon as a corporation to focus on, around its environmental impact and reported issues around workers' rights and human rights. And so for us, it was a way of pointing to an example which most people are familiar with. It's a company that people know, and that's been very much in the news, and some people will be aware of its kind of track record. And what we're calling people to do is two things: to break the habits, so to reduce their dependence on Amazon where possible, and this bit's really important, to then choose to shop more ethically. So through the campaign, we want to be celebrating those businesses and companies that do pay their fair share, that do treat work as well, that do think about their environmental impact, and to choose to shop with them and to champion the work that they do. So that's the first part of the campaign, is to break the habit. And that's really, about, I guess, about some self-reflection. So where are we spending our money as individuals, as churches, and where could we do that more ethically? And the second part of the campaign is to fix the rules. So recognising that our individual spending choices, lifestyle choices are important, and they're a really important part of building a movement for change. But on their own, they will not be enough, because what we need is for the national and international rules that govern what corporations can do. We need those to change. And so a key focus for the campaign as well will be on advocacy around fixing the global tax rules, which again sounds like a very big thing to do. And we're not doing it alone. We're doing it alongside lots of other organisations that are working for tax justice globally. But we wanted to bring a church voice, Christian voices, into this space. We want to be able to mobilise people within churches to campaign on this issue. And we have a focus for this campaign, which is the UN Tax Convention, which is currently being negotiated and aims to create a fairer global tax system. And it's like a once in a lifetime really opportunity to bring many more countries into those conversations, including countries in the global south, to be well represented amongst those negotiations, and to put in place the framework that will set what the global tax rules look like for generations to come. So we've launched the Challenge Amazon campaign, and we're inviting people to take part in these two interconnected ways, to break the habits and to fix the rules. And we'll be providing people with the resources to do that. So including examples of where to shop more ethically, and campaign resources people can use to engage with their MPs when the time comes to make a big noise about the UN Tax Convention. And we hope that that will enable some broader conversations as well to take place within churches about where we spend money. Yes, using Amazon as the focus, but hoping that that will open up much broader conversation about the positive impact that we can have with our spending. And that it will be an opportunity for maybe churches that haven't engaged with the whole issue of tax justice to find an accessible way in to talking about it through talking about a company that is quite well known, and then engaging with this particular advocacy moment that they can get involved with.
Just looking at that question of how we can transfer our shopping so that we are building something that we want to see, one of the things that we are increasingly looking at in our own work is the sense that there is an economic system which is built around prioritizing efficiency, but that efficiency often is at the expense of the human and at the expense of community. And we really liked your campaign about Hope on the High Street, which emphasized that when you move away from a system that's built on efficiency, you can start to celebrate the people and the businesses that are actively trying to shape and create positive communities where you are. Do you have any examples that came out of that campaign that you might want to share?
Yes, I really enjoyed working on that. It was part of the Million Acts of Hope campaign, which lots of other organisations were getting involved with. And it was really about celebrating all that's positive in our communities and all that brings us together. And we thought, yes, let's take a look at, you know, how would we look at what does a kind of good and connected and compassionate local economy look like, and how can we celebrate that? And so I spent a bit of time just reflecting on, well, where do I feel that connection and that community locally? And I live in Worcester. I'm really fortunate that it's a city that really, you really can get to most places in 15 minutes by walking or cycling. And so I had a wealth of local businesses and social enterprises and community cafes that I can shop at, and refill shops and repair cafes and all kinds of really vibrant local organisations that, like you say, they have benefit in so many ways to the community, because they're not just providing places where people can buy ethically and think about things like like reducing their plastic packaging, for example, by buying from a local refill shop, or supporting more people into work by going to a community cafe that employs people who are in the workplace for the first time. They provide little spaces for community to happen as well. So they're not only contributing to the local economy, but they're building up that sense of who we are as a community and breaking down some of the divides. And I just think that is so important in this moment in our times at the moment where politics are becoming very divisive and people are quite fearful. And I know, as I've talked with other colleagues as well, that people found it really easy again to think of those examples of places that felt a joy to connect with and to spend money with. But everyone could identify somewhere that they felt was good news. And I'd love to see, and I think some churches are already doing this, but I would love to see more churches thinking about that, thinking about what does your local economy look like? How could you celebrate it more, celebrate what's there that's helping create community, that's helping create a more flourishing local economy? And how can you connect and join in with that? And I think that, you know, there are great examples of churches doing that in terms of giving space in their building, perhaps to credit unions or to repair cafes, or ways in which people are kind of pooling resources and time and money in a way that's beneficial to others. So I think there's loads of ways in which churches can get involved in celebrating their local economy. And that's what I see as the really positive part of our Challenge Amazon campaign, is that hopefully it will forge some more of those connections and encourage more of that local engagement.
That's brilliant, Rosie. And I think one of the things that is particularly interesting is that you're clearly spreading this beyond the sort of things that will attract an audience of people who have a fairly large disposable income. You know, some of the time people say, well, that's all very well for people who have a significant disposable income. But you're talking about things that will build the economy for everyone. Mm-hmm. Credit unions, corner shops, cafes that offer employment, places that are focused on ethical sourcing, so that you're really talking about an economy that is supporting a wide range of enterprises and a wide range of socioeconomic engagement. You mentioned earlier that you were looking at the second part of this campaign, which will be fixing the rules, and that will involve looking at the UN Convention on Tax. Very conscious of the fact that the questions about multinationals and their willingness to be transparent about what tax they're paying and what income they have in different jurisdictions isn't just an issue that faces the UK. It's an issue that has ramifications worldwide. And presumably, when you were talking about this being a really significant opportunity, UN Tax Convention, this is a significant opportunity for making change that would be beneficial to the UK. And I was struck by some statistics about the number of nurses and teachers and social housing that could be purchased if you had tax that isn't necessarily currently coming in. And it's something that could have benefits for health and education and social welfare worldwide. Are you interacting with other organizations that are looking at this aspect?
Yes, definitely. So we are part of wider tax justice kind of movements and allies that meet regularly. One of them is Tax Justice Network, and the research that they have done is if you look at the global picture, the money that multinationals and super rich deprive countries of globally is nearly $500 billion every year. And so if you think about what that money could do in terms of, as you say, like funding schools, hospitals, climate action, you know, currently that much of that money is ending up in tax havens and in the pockets of the very, very rich. You know, if we had a more effective and fairer tax system that was designed by all countries that care about a fairer tax system, then more of that money would be flowing into the kinds of things that would lead to climate justice, to gender justice, to better education, tackling inequality, tackling extreme poverty. So yes, we do work with others globally and also in the UK who are calling for very similar things.
And presumably the benefit of working globally would be that you wouldn't then have the sort of race to the bottom among tax jurisdictions.
Yes, so that's the idea. So the tax rules that will come about through the UN tax convention, every country has a seat at the table there, and will be involved in the negotiations. And what we do, what we need is something that can be applied across the globe. So the moment we have, you know, very, very patchy rules which enable lots of money to move across borders and to not be paid in the country where it's owed. And so we do need that global standard to enable the kind of transparency that's needed to have the right kind of data and finance available to every government so that they know what to charge corporations. So it's really, really important that it is a global agreement and that it kind of sets that standard.
Thank you so much. So if people have heard you speaking and they say we want to take action, what would be the next steps? How would we pray and act?
So we have a wealth of resources, as we always do at Just Money Movement. So there are resources on our website, justmoney.org.uk, specifically designed for churches, so including worship materials for Tax Justice Sunday on the 28th of June. But you can use them at any time. So if the date doesn't work this year, but you want to choose a time in the autumn to look at tax justice, then there's a wealth of resources there for you to do that. You can sign the Break the Habit Amazon Pledge, and we really encourage people to do that, to stay in touch with the campaign, but also to begin on that journey of reflecting on your own spending habits. So encouraging people, it's not a boycott, we're not calling for a boycott, but we're calling for people to break the habit. So if you sign up to the pledge, then it's your commitment to just do that kind of pause and think whenever you might be considering buying from Amazon to actually think, where else could I get this instead? And churches can get involved in that too. You can download a poster to share on your church notice board to say this is a campaign that we are we're committed to, and we're encouraging others to consider it. So yeah, we've got lots of materials that help you to do your own reflection, either individually or as a congregation, but also to communicate it to others. And that's the really important part of it, is actually that we're talking more about these issues, particularly talking about that positive spending more. We would really love to hear stories of where people are choosing to spend that they consider to be good news. So you can get in touch with us if you'd like to share your story at info@justmoney.org.uk. And with your permission, then we will share that. Because I think those kind of stories of positive spending are what inspire other people to join in. So encourage people. If maybe you've always avoided Amazon, maybe it's something that, yeah, you've for a long time you've not spent with Amazon, and actually there are lots of places that you do choose to spend instead, and we'd love to hear those stories too.
Those all sound like really positive steps, Rosie. How do you see the campaign developing over time?
So we will we'll be following the UN Tax Convention, and there might be other opportunities in the coming year when we will call on people to take action. So joining the campaign and being part of it will make sure that you're kept up to date with those opportunities to continue campaigning. We're also developing our ethical buying guide for churches as part of the Challenge Amazon campaign, conscious that churches are have money that they steward in a way that can have positive impact, and that thinking through where we spend and where we purchase as a church is a really important part of that, and having some principles and values in place can help govern those decisions about who do we buy from and what do we buy. And so yes, we're developing our ethical buying guide, which we've had for a number of years, but needs an update, and want to include within that some case studies of churches that are thinking through their purchasing. And so I would really love to hear from churches that have developed their own ethical buying principles or ethical purchasing policies, to talk with them, to include as case studies within that resource. And also, you know, to hear from churches that have found it challenging to have conversations around ethical buying, because that's really important to hear as well. And we're working towards that resource being available in October to coincide with Good Money Week, which runs from the end of September to the beginning of October. And so there'll be some events to launch that guide. And if you're in touch with us through the Challenge Amazon campaign, then you'll hear about those too.
Thank you so much, Rosie. And thank you for the work that you're doing to help Christians and everyone to reflect on what can sometimes seem like an architecture of spending that's just there, and there's nothing that one can do about it. And for reminding us that we have choices, and that those choices actually have the potential to shape a far better and fairer world. It has been really great having you on the podcast.
Thank you, Miranda.